Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the New Mainstream podcast, where we explore the impact of multicultural consumers on marketing and media. I'm your host, Mario Carrasco, and co-founder of Think Now. Really excited to introduce you to our guest today, Joy Gladman, Vice President of Fielding at Edge Research. Joy, how are you?
I am doing very well, Mario. How are you today?
I'm good. And, you know, for those listening, we are recording on Election Day, which is kind of November 3rd. But we thought this would be a good way to, focus in on some interesting topics. But would love to have you, Joy, kind of describe what your role is at VP of Fielding at Edge Research.
Absolutely. So I have been working with Edge Research for about, it's going on 9 years, actually. April 1st, 2021 will be 9 years. And I have been responsible for selecting the vendors for our projects. So, and when I say vendors, focus group facilities, as well as recruiters that recruit for our nationwide projects, as well as panel providing companies. And then I'm also responsible for ensuring that our projects happen and they happen on time. They get done if there are any issues while we're in field, troubleshooting and brainstorming with our vendors. So I wear many hats at Edge Research. I also run our intern program as well during the summer, and I enjoy mentoring as well. So,
oh, that's great. I didn't know about you running the intern program, so that's pretty cool.
Yes, it is really cool to watch them grow, and we actually have a couple of them come on board after they're done with undergrad. So it's been an amazing process.
That's great. You're showing potential researchers the intricacies of sampling. That's like the most the least known part, I feel like, about market research.
It is. I have to agree with you there. Most folks think that it's as simple as, creating a survey, potentially using SurveyMonkey or something like that, and just going out to Gen Pop and hoping that you find the right people. But it's really having those conversations with your clients about who they're really looking for to ensure that they get the right data. It's also making sure that you're working with the right vendors to ensure you have the quality of respondents that you're looking for.
For sure. And that's a great segue into, I want to talk about why I invited you on the show. You have the distinction, honor of being the first person on the show that from the sampling world. And the reason I brought you on, I've been involved with an organization called Insights in Color, which is really great organization that started this year by Whitney Dunlop Fowler, and promoting diversity and inclusion in the market research space. As we know, I've met you throughout the years at sample events. You know, our industry, unfortunately, isn't that diverse.
Absolutely.
But the good thing is we're starting to have those conversations. And with the sample industry in particular, you know, I'm heading up a task force and Insights in Color that's really kind of in charge of looking at the sampling industry and promoting diversity and inclusion. And I think it's really the most critical aspect of research because it underpins everything, right? If, like you mentioned, if we're not talking to the right people, those voices aren't being represented in the research. And so I wanted to have you on, just have a conversation about the importance of sampling. And we're not going to cover everything, but I just wanted to touch on some things. And so, you know, from your perspective, you know, you're an executive at a research company in charge of choosing those vendors. I mean, to you, you know, what is the importance, or can you talk a bit about ensuring that your sample is diverse, that it's representing the diversity of the U.S. from a respondent perspective?
Right. So if you look at the census data, right, 18.4% of the population is Hispanic. 13.4% is African American. 5.9% is Asian. So when our clients are saying that they want a census representative sample, we need to make sure that the minority voices are heard. That's approximately, 37%, 30 to 39% of the population is minority. So if you take that out, you're really not hearing from everyone. You're not getting the African-American perspective as a parent. You're not getting the Hispanic perspective as a parent, so to speak. And same thing with Asian, Native American. So it's really important to find sample providers out there that provide that sample where you don't feel like you're talking to the same couple of hundred people on every survey, to make sure that they are really committed to building their panel out as well. Because you, like I said, you want to make sure that the quality is there. You want to make sure that the African-Americans, Hispanics, Asians, and other minority populations are not sample fatigued and survey fatigued as well. So that's been really important, especially over the last couple of years, making sure their voices are heard and making sure that we can actually pinpoint in our data, we've spoken to a certain amount, and here is what they're thinking.
That's a great point. And you bring something up about, and we've had conversations on this, letting the client know that, hey, you're going to have to include X percentage, of course, depending on the market. But if we're looking at Nat Rep, I think part of the responsibility falls on us, right? Letting the client know how it should fall out, why we're sourcing certain vendors. Do you have any tips on for people in the sample industry on how to have those conversations with your clients on the importance of including multicultural sample? And it really comes down to, the panels out there are not necessarily investing resources, time to ensuring, the panel experience is friendly or attracts a multicultural respondent. So oftentimes you have to pay a premium to get those respondents. I mean, and those are tough conversations to have when a client has a budget, right, a certain amount of budget. So just want to get a sense from you, someone that's talking to multiple clients, how are you talking to them, educating them, advocating for them to have multicultural respondents in their sample plans?
You know what, for some of our clients, they come to us and they come to us with a blank slate and they say, here's who we're looking for. But we actually always support our arguments, so to speak, with numbers, right? If you want to talk to only 60% of the population, then, it's fine if we have a full Caucasian sample. But if you are trying to make sure that you are anyway reflective of the census numbers, here is what you need to do. And we actually direct them sometimes to census quick facts, because we want to make sure that whatever we are, we're arguing for, or we are suggesting to them, that we can back it up with useful and reliable statistics.
That's a great tip, census quick facts, because I really believe in empowering project managers, right? Because a lot of the time you have individuals that aren't at the level that you're at, but maybe, in larger companies, their project managers kind of tasked having to deal with clients, and that advice that you're giving about relying on the numbers takes that personal aspect out of it, right? You can say, hey, look, that's fine. You made this decision, but, check out census quick facts. I think that's great advice.
Yeah. And it's really easy for them to go to. And then, like, let's say they're looking at a specific state or specific zip codes, you can say, hey, why don't you compare the state to the US numbers as well. That way they're able to go to the resource and say, actually, you're right. Maybe I should consider including, you know, minority sample, looking at quick facts. But I would say that's the first step, is always support what you're arguing with valid statistics.
For sure. And since we're in the marketing research industry, that's on brand and it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
I'm curious, like, what type of clients do you typically work with? Does Edge Research focus on specific verticals, or do you work with a variety of different product and service type companies?
Yeah, so it actually spans the gamut, which is awesome. So some days we're working with really great organizations focused on science. The next day we could be working with financial firms. So it spans the gamut. The only thing that I love is that we do not participate in political polling at all.
Okay.
So the only time we would get involved in politics is if there's a certain law or something that may impact our client in a way, and our client may add a question or two. But it spans the gamut except for political polling, which I like, even though we are right outside of DC.
Yeah, that is interesting, because a lot of research companies in that area tend to focus on almost exclusively on political polling, right?
Which makes sense. It makes sense. And then they're like, wow, you guys are a needle in a haystack. But I think the projects we take on are never easy. You'll notice in our industry that a lot of the Gen Pop surveys, at least for us, are going away because our clients can do that on their own. So our clients usually come to us, no pun intended, looking for that edge. They're looking for the rural farmer in a rural area of America, or they're looking for, you know, African American parents nationwide, or they're looking for African American parents or Hispanic parents in specific markets, inner city. It really, when they come to us, they never give us an easy project. And I think that's why most of us stay at Edge, because every day is a new challenge for us. And that's also really cool.
How did you get into market research and sampling? I mean, I love hearing, I feel like we all kind of get into this industry in roundabout ways.
It's actually really interesting. So when I came out of school, I was actually working for Cargill. They're a huge food company. And I was working in their Washington, D.C. office as a junior lobbyist, so to speak. I was being trained to be a lobbyist, and it was really cool. I had really great opportunities, went to really fabulous parties, met senators and all types of cool opportunities there, but it wasn't my calling. It just was not the right fit for me. So after that, I went to a smaller firm and did a bit of marketing. And then afterwards, I was applying, and I applied at Edge Research and fell in love with it. The company, the people, just the interview in itself was interesting. And so I definitely didn't come from, you know, a marketing background except for school. And then that's how I landed at Edge, and the rest is history.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, similar story for me and how I came from marketing side of things and then fell into the research portion. And then there's the sample industry, right? I feel like we're an industry within an industry.
Yep.
It's so interesting about sample. I mean, like I mentioned in the beginning, it powers everything we do. And I think a lot of people don't think about where respondents come from. And the irony is that it's really the most important part of research. And so I, you know, I wanted to kind of end, we're almost at our time here, believe it or not, but like, what are some of the top issues that you see in the sample industry that you feel like, you know, we should be aware of, and try to rectify?
I think we have this discussion all the time, Mario, with during SampleCon, but we are really battling bots. We want to make sure that we are talking to real people. We want to make sure that we're not overusing our sample and our people. So I'm really concerned going forward on bots. That's a huge one. I'm also really concerned about keeping the interest of 18 to 34 year olds in general. We see them speeding through our surveys, straight lining, like what's going to keep their interest. Now, obviously, you know, talking about their taxes may not be fun. I'm not sure that we could ever, you know, make it a cartoon or gamify it at all. But just ways to keep their interest, even if it is mobile friendly. One thing we should also watch is how we are using our minority sample as well, making sure we're not overusing them, but also making sure that these panels are building for these populations and not just higher income minorities. I also want to see, the ability to get lower income respondents. And I realize it can be more expensive, but we need to hear their voices as well. And I feel like in general, overall, with a lot of panels, it skews higher income.
That's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And those are bots are becoming more and more rampant. And the last two issues you present, it's interesting because I see them as intertwined, right? You were talking about the census numbers in terms of, you know, roughly 40% of the population being multicultural. But as you go to younger generations, millennial, Gen Z is actually going to be the first minority majority generation. So I think 51%. So when we're talking about youth sample, we're really talking about multicultural sample, right?
Yep.
And so we're dealing with two issues at once, kind of lack of engaging young people, because as we know, clients love those 30-minute surveys, but nobody's got time for that, right?
Like right, Gen Z, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Especially Gen Z, like it's like TikTok is the most popular thing, and those videos are what, like 40 seconds?
I think it's 40 seconds. Yeah, I'm not on TikTok.
But, you know, like we got to solve for that. And we have to solve for the fact that, this generation's more multicultural than ever. And one thing I'm always preaching is that, you know, the sample industry, the panel industry is really, wasn't built to recruit and retain minority respondents. So I think that's something, you know, if we figure that out, we kind of get young people at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. And how do you keep them? And I think you're right on target. How do you keep them engaged? How do you keep engaged? Especially in the age of social media, right? Where you're only keeping folks' interest for about a minute, you know, you have like a few trigger words and they'll run with it, but by the next day it's over.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
So
great. Well, thanks for being on. If people want to find you, find Edge Research, could you share website, social media, best place to get in contact with you?
Yes, absolutely. So you can find us on the web, edgeresearch.com. And you will actually see the full team on the website. And you can reach me at gladman@edgeresearch.com if you have any further questions.
Great. Thanks for joining, Joy. And thank you, everybody, for listening.
Mario, this has been awesome. Let's please catch up soon.
Definitely. Stay safe, everyone. Bye-bye. Thanks to everyone listening in. To get more multicultural insights, check us out at thinknow.com and follow us on social media. You can also subscribe to this podcast on your favorite platform. Final thank you to our producer, Lucas Martinez, who created our intro music and makes our podcast sound great. To email him, reach out to martinez.lucas.a@gmail.com.